Yes, this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and I'm Margaret Gray.
This is General Galen Shaw, and thank you, Margaret. And here is Bud Dickman.
And Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard.
Now, here's Phil Hendry.
Well, that kind of sucked, didn't it?
What do you mean it sucked?
Well, the last one you guys did.
Well, we had to stop the last one. We had to abort, because you carved it a new ass.
I don't think I carved it a new ass. What happened was we couldn't find some, we had some production problems, so we had to start the thing all over again. I thought the way you did it the first time.
Well, Phil, you know, do you want to stop this one?
No, we're here. We're off and running.
What was good about the first one?
The first one, Robert did this whole pitch about how I was the creator.
Well, that's a kind of a God complex, man. You know what? That's a good point, Robert. You're into a God complex.
No, I'm not into a God. I just thought it was interesting.
Well, you know what, Phil? You lose. We win, you lose on that one. And let me just inform the audience. What Phil's talking about is Robert went on and on and on and on about how we were created by Phil and that he is the life giver, that he is the sun and the sun rising and setting, that, geez, it made me sick to my stomach. You'd think that we were nothing more than skin jobs. All right? You know that word, don't you?
Why is that familiar?
Yeah. Skin jobs. That's what we are, replicants.
From Blade Runner.
Brain Runner?
Blade Runner?
Listen to you. Now he's making fun of the Oriental people, or the Asians, I should say. Excuse me. When you say Blade Runner, you know full well...
I'm not doing that. I misspoke.
You said Oriental.
I meant Asian.
Yes, but you said Oriental.
Well, whatever I said, it came out of his fetid, corrosive brain, so thank you.
All right, so now that we have that off of our chest, and now that we can say that it's all my fault... It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, it is kind of flip side, Mr. Hendry, on saying that you're the creator, the Lord God, the creator.
Yes, it is. You know, you're the creator, but you're also the one that blows it. You blew it. You blew it.
That is true, Phil. I know you didn't mean to do it, but you went Blade Runner. And
will you knock it off with Blade Runner? Anyway, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here for this Friday. It is Friday. Thank you. Oh, man.
It was a tough week.
Very difficult week. I know that today we are going to... Let me just see the guest list, because I don't know whether we're going to be cleaning up any messes that we created. I know that Emory Clayton will be on to talk about the MOAB.
Yeah, that's the mother of all bombs.
Yeah, they dropped one in Afghanistan, and Dr. Clayton, being a professor of urban as well as international studies, will talk about the ramifications of blowing ISIS half to hell and back.
Man, talk about blowing ISIS.
Don't give me a hard time.
Yeah, you said it.
Hey, you know what he means.
And then we have Dr. Ed Elcott, because he wanted in on this bar fight thing.
Well, the bar fight thing is off and running over on our Facebook fan page, Phil.
Yeah, the bar fight, if you want to pick a winner of this week's bar fight between Margaret Gray and Bobby Dooley, and they were on yesterday talking about their initial, you know, you guys actually had a real fight.
We had a fight. It wasn't a bar fight. All right.
Well, what's the difference?
What? Get a load of him. What's the difference? One's in a bar and the other was outside. Oh!
Bad, General. I'm saying, what's the difference?
Anyway, so yes, the bar fight competition is off and running. So go over to facebook.com/ Phil Hendry Fans, PHANS. And we have to say PHANS because Phil set it up like that.
I know. Believe me, if I had it to do over again, philhendryfans.com. It's facebook.com/ Phil Hendry Fans. Then Dean Wheeler is going to be on because apparently there's been some blowback, and excuse the saying.
There are a few people that...
A few people that what?
When you say blowback, it kind of that startles them.
Yeah, they get startled.
What do you mean they get startled?
Yeah, you know, I don't believe this.
I'm telling you, we got some email yesterday saying when Phil says blowback, they sort of stop and just... They're taken aback.
Get out of here, will you?
Well.
So there's going to be a blowback on Dean Wheeler and his yoga classes.
Are you kidding? Is that ass still fooling around with that?
Yoga is a system.
Margaret, I'm talking to Phil, if you don't mind.
Go ahead, Margaret.
Thank you, Phil. Yoga is a system.
So you don't want to answer this.
Margaret has a better grip on what yoga is.
What yoga is? Jesus.
Well, it's not... A physical system.
Yes, it's a physical system not unlike yoga, but it was developed by Dean Wheeler. And because of some misunderstanding that Dean talked about on the show and was witnessed, I guess, by some people over there at the resort, when he wound up with his nose...
Yeah, it was part of the exercise, but he put his nose up there.
He wound up with his nose up Carolyn Buttershaw's, you know...
Upper crack.
What an asshole.
Hey, was that true or not?
Yes, essentially.
Carolyn Buttershaw has not been able to live that down.
Who?
That's the woman that,
Look at them all. Look at the children laughing.
Carolyn Buttershaw.
That's right. That's her name. Don't wear it out. Carolyn Buttershaw, she's a master yoga student.
Yeah.
What's with you?
I'm just waiting. We're waiting to find out, you know.
Waiting to find out what?
All right, I'll say it. Carolyn Buttershaw, she's the one that Dean mistakenly, in doing a very convoluted and very difficult yoga posture, wound up with his nose apparently right up her... How do you do that?
That's where it was. And when a couple of kids rode by on bicycles, they went home and told their mom. You know what, Phil? I know that you're Catholic, so you'll relate to this. You'll rot and burn in hell.
Margaret,
where are you going?
I'm taking a walk so I can walk this horse dung off.
Jesus. You know, you laugh at her.
Phil, knock it off, will you?
What's with your voice, man?
Yeah, your voice cracked.
Oh, really? Tough toenails.
So, yeah, Dean Wheeler is going to join us later and talk to us about that whole thing, man, his yoga class and some kids. Oh.
I went back in on this. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to Phil go. You're like some demented buck-tooth beaver. So I don't know what.
All right, we're going to do, you know what? I'm just going to forget everything that ever happened, and we'll just continue on here like nothing happened.
Phil Henry Show
traffic here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bob Bacon, Bob.
Hey, Phil, at the Brother Freeway, I'm going to let everybody know right now, because we just came out of the Twin Towers. We got that cleaned up there. They had a slot fence out there and down there on there. So they got out of the hands, he tried to mop that whole thing up, and it came out of the bump rut. And the bump rut told me that I have to have to go down the slow lane right now, the fast lane, the diamond lane. All of those are closed, and all the freeways closed. You can't get anywhere today. They're up until 10 o'clock this afternoon. Check that out. Well, then the Harbor Freeway number down at the Countdown Freeway. It looks like there's going to be about a 5-5 delay in the 5-5. That's 5-5-4-2-3-1. Blast off. You're going to travel and get up there and go through the tunnel and down, and you're going to find your way up there to the top of the mountain. The mountain will go and look at the telescope. Let's go to the Sky Boy right now.
I'm up to the freeway now. I'm not doing it.
What could be better for her birthday than a stuffed toy? That's right, a little stuffed bear or a little tiny stuffed chipmunk or a little stuffed otter. Get it for her at Jimmy's Stuffed Toys. Cuddly, sweet, light, lilting. Get a stuffed toy for your girlfriend, your daughter, any female. Make it soft and loving. Yes, Jimmy's Stuffed Toys. Get her a little stuffed alligator. Get her a little stuffed cubby bear.
A little tiny, cute, little cunny.
Yeah!
Why, I stepped into a bear trap.
Nobody now getting no break. Police now getting no break.
Don't forget, coming up, exciting National Hockey League action. That's right, the NHL. Hockey. Fast, violent collisions. Speed and skill all at once. The National Hockey League. You've never seen hitting, slashing, slapping, and skating like this. Yes, the National Hockey League. Don't miss it. Over the Mother of All Bombs Hockey Network. Yeah! Welcome back, Phil Henry Show. Woohoo! I got Emery Clayton. I love talking to Emery Clayton. That guy is too many days and months between visits from Emery Clayton for my taste, and always love having him on the show. Dr. Emery Clayton from L.A. Canyon College North. Dr. Clayton, we welcome you back to the program here. And we want to talk to you a little bit here about the mother of all bombs. I didn't know that you were necessarily an ordnance specialist.
Well, General, I'm not an ordnance, and some people might think that you'd be better placed at commenting on these things.
I don't know anything about these kinds of weapons.
Well, here's the thing that makes the mother of all bombs different from any other normal kind of a weapon. This is used, these instruments are used, these weapons are used as a way of influencing policy. Now, they say that war is the ultimate extension of politics. But I would tell you that there are wars and then there are wars. Now, we have normal conventional warfare. We certainly have, in within our capability, nuclear warfare. And that means you blow everything to hell and back, if I may be so bold. And then you have something in the middle, which is to use a non-conventional kind of weapon, but pre, or we should say sub-nuclear, like the mother of all bombs, 27,000 pounds of TNT.
That's the bang, you might say the bang capacity.
That's the wallop, huh?
That is the wallop, yeah, that's the bang capacity. And that is something you only use in concert with political attention. You understand what I'm saying? So in other words, you don't make a move with a weapon like that unless you contact the big boys in Washington, D.C. That's how that game is played, and that's the way it's always been played.
All right, Dr. Clayton, this is Margaret. This is a very fascinating topic because this weapon was used by President Trump and the military the other day. I don't know which day it was, yesterday or the day before.
I believe it was yesterday, which was the 6th. I don't know the date, but it was a Thursday. And the reason why I know is a Thursday because I was going for a colonic, and I was laying there getting ready to go full cleanse when they said they dropped it, you better get back over to the school. So I had to, well, I don't want to tell you what I did, but...
You had to remove a hose or something, right?
What an ass.
Hey, bud.
Sorry.
Can you cut that out?
Yes, we will.
So I, three, two, do you count me down?
Three, two, one.
Yeah, that's right. So, I decided to go back over to school when I heard, and I was on the horn with Whitey Wilson and a couple of the other guys, some of the guys at the policy institutes, and they were telling me this mother of all bombs was dropped in a tunnel complex that was being used by ISIS. I said, in Afghanistan. They said, yes. I said, so ISIS is cooperating with the Taliban. And they said, now you're getting too deep and you're getting too far into it. I said, well, what's so far into it?
If the ISIS is in Afghanistan, it stands to reason they'd be teamed up with the Taliban, right?
Right. That's exactly what I said to Whitey. I said, so give me a confirmation on that. He said, no can do. And I said, what game are we playing now, Whitey? I've known this guy for 15 years. He said, I'm not playing a game. He said, I just can't get any confirmation that there was cooperation going on between the Taliban and the ISIS people. He said, all I know is they dropped this mother at 0800 hours, and it blew living hell out of every Christian soul within hundreds of miles. Now, I said, you know, we're talking, well, he said, it's a figure of speech.
So they use that term, every Christian soul.
Yes, but you know what I'm saying. Every Muslim soul, every soul, even the atheists, it doesn't make any difference.
Now, the Christian souls, it doesn't, it's the only one they kill.
Who said that?
It's Bud Dickman.
It's Bud. What is your question, Bud?
They didn't just kill Christian.
They did not intend on killing Christians, Bud. They intended on killing ISIS. And I'm going to have to assume they also intended on killing the Taliban.
Talking to Professor Emory Clayton from L.A. Canyon College, who's a professor of international studies as well as urban studies over there. And we're talking about the political ramifications of this mother of all bombs. That's a big, big wallop, isn't it? That's a lot of bomb, 20,000 pounds of bomb, right?
That is correct. A big ass. Most of the, to give you an example, Phil, the biggest bomb they use, they have used in that conflict, whether it be in Iraq, Syria, over there in Afghanistan, about 2,000 pounds. Now, there was a bomb used in the Gulf War that was called the Bunker Buster. And I don't know if you remember that one, General.
Yeah, that was it the Bunker, the Bunker Buster.
Right. The British witnessed, a couple of British troops, a British unit witnessed the American forces using that in Kuwait on some Iraqis. And I believe the quote was, the Yanks have nuked Kuwait. That's what they thought was happening when they saw that sucker go off.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. The Yanks have nuked Kuwait. As it turned out, it was not a nuke. It was his bunker buster. But when you want to send the message loud, you want to send it clear, you want to send it concise, and you want it to go right to the heart of the matter, man, I tell you, it ain't nothing like a big bomb, especially a MOA, MOAB, mother of all, you know.
Let me we're talking here with Professor Emory Clayton. So when we say it's an extension of policy, what does that mean?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. If this is a political statement, obviously, like you were saying everything, but this is not a call you make in the field.
Oh, no. Like I said, you don't make this call in the field. No, you dial Washington, man. You dial long distance for this. You get on the horn with the Secretary of Defense or the President of the United States of America. In this case, that'd be Donald Trump or the Defense Secretary, which is General Mattis. And you say, can do, no can do, green light, thumb up. and they will say, thumb up, green light, can do. That is a, in military and political parlance, that is a yes.
What is that? Is that what you say?
That is the code. Now, I'm probably a little rusty with it, but can do, me can do, and they will come back with can do, thumb up, green light.
Can do, thumb up, green light.
That's right. Now, these are diplomatic. This is a diplomatic language, Phil, that is far beyond anything you or I could understand. Most of the soldiers...
Hold on for just a minute. I've never heard of anything like that.
Well, you're hearing about it now, General. I don't know. When's the last time you were in the military?
Well, all right. Can do? You're saying that's the question.
Right. It's the code.
Well, how is it you know the code?
Because it's an old code. Oh! Then I'm not giving you the code they're using right now.
I understand, but I just didn't know that these codes were readily available.
It's not readily available. It's available to those of us academics and scholastics in the field research of international studies and political science as well as military science. And we have access to certain study materials. Capiche? You know?
Yes, capiche. I understand. But I still think that it's a rather awkward code.
All right, it may be awkward, but that's what they... Now, I asked Dickman, and I also you, Phil, if you recall...
Yeah, we have an example of this, this whatever this thing is called. It's
called a mother of all bombs.
Get a mother of all bomb at 20,000 pounds, and it'll blow hell out of, it'll blow hell out of you. Don't even worry about it.
What do you mean, blow hell out of you?
See, I just don't like the terminology.
There's nothing sexual about it, Ms. Gray. Believe you me when I tell you, but we're not trying to shock anybody. It's just that this is the terminology that is used in everyday the everyday military parlance. Now, Bud, if you'll do the honors.
There.
Wait a minute. That, God damn.
Oh my God.
Right there. See that? That blew living hell right out of some of those clowns. Watch. Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I like that. So.
Well, that is frightening.
Well, it may be frightening, but that's what's got to happen.
So what we saw there was it looked like nobody was expecting it.
You cannot expect the mother of all bombs. It just comes upon you. And you have to accept it. You don't expect it, you accept it. You don't wait for it, you get up for it. You don't open the door and wait for it, you wait for it to do a home invasion. That's the best thing I can say about the mother of all bombs. Now, here is the mother of all bombs being tested out at Cape Canaveral. Watch this. I don't know if you can hear this or not, but...
Well, we're looking at video here.
That's right. Now, watch. Now it's going to blow the hell out of that.
Oh, God.
Yeah, now you hear these guys that are saying, oh, God.
Oh, God.
Who are those?
Those are the scientists that invented it.
And now, it's going to be loud. It's going to be loud.
That's one of the scientists.
That's one of the scientists.
Yeah, it's going to be loud.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Alex. So you can see that those scientists didn't know what had happened. They'd invented it. And they certainly knew that it was going to be a big bomb, but they had no idea, no idea at all, that it was going to just blow their scientific minds. That's pretty scary, Phil, if you think about that, when a scientist doesn't know how bad it is.
So these are scientists that are watching this mother of all bombs.
Yeah, they were testing it, and they went, man, we didn't make that. We couldn't have created that.
Hold on, it's
going to
be loud.
Yeah, see, the scientists are freaking out.
It's going to be loud.
That's one of the scientists saying it's going to be loud. That's
what a scientific guy he is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they don't believe what they've done.
That's I don't want to hear any more of that, if you don't mind.
Well, Phil, I mean, it's very impressive. What, you don't want to be a chicken, do you?
Yeah, I was thinking I'd be a chicken.
Phil, I'd hate to think you want to be a chicken shit. And
do you mind with the language?
I'm very sorry.
I'm not being chicken. It's extremely traumatic.
But the thing that I don't understand, Professor Clayton, are those scientists freaking out?
If you ever saw a movie, and all of you seen the movie Frankenstein, I don't think there's a one of us that hasn't seen Frankenstein, because Frankenstein is a metaphor for not being in control of the things you create. And Dr. Frankenstein certainly found out the hard way when he created the Frankenstein monster, and it walked around the countryside and was tearing people apart and throwing little kids off of bridges, that, oh, my God, I've created something beyond. Now, you hear these scientists, they go from being very thoughtful men to they can't, you know, they've lost their scientific theory. They're diving for underneath a tree. They don't know what to do. Here it is again, Phil. I know you didn't want me to play that.
All right, so this is the mother of all bombs being tested.
Yeah. Now, the scientists suddenly go from being very calm and collected to they're running for their lives. Good heads up there. It's going to be loud.
Buzzers.
Holy sh...
Oh, my God.
You're telling...
Hold on, Phil.
You're telling me that those guys didn't know...
They didn't know what they had. They didn't know what they had. All they knew is they wanted to turn and run. And when they finally found half these guys, they're about a half a mile away, hiding under cactus and trees.
Get out of here, man. You tell me the truth.
I'm dead serious.
So now we come to find out that America's scientific community, when they are creating weapons, they all of a sudden, it's out of their control.
That particular bomb, yeah. They finally said, you know what, we got no control over this. Everyone hightail it. Every man for himself. And when they, like I said, when they finally found some of these guys, they were 2-3 miles away. They'd run the whole distance. A couple of them were hiding under trees. One guy was under a wheelbarrow. I don't know what that's about.
What, a wheelbarrow?
Yeah.
But why was he there?
I have no idea. But there was one guy hiding under a wheelbarrow, another guy who had hitchhiked, got a ride on the back of a truck, and was somewhere in Banning before they finally found him.
We're talking to Professor Emery Clayton on the mother of all bombs.
Yeah.
And there's a number of these explosions.
Well, I tell you, Phil, when it comes to bombs, and when it comes to things that explode, when it comes to things that... that are just, you know, functional and then not functional. Your show, I'm joking around, Phil. I'm just fucking around.
Professor Emery Clayton.
And the language there.
Find out from him why he said that.
Professor Clayton, yeah, we hung up on you. You said the F word. You said it. Yeah, you did. And now you're never going to be allowed back on. And
what do you mean I'm never going to be allowed back on?
Hey, Professor Clayton, the F word.
Oh, come on, man. All I said is I wanted to...
Professor Emery Clayton with the mother of all bombs, they ran a half a mile away.
I don't buy that. Do you buy that?
Well, I mean, the man said it, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, these professors invent a bomb, and then they all of a sudden go, they're scared and they're running.
Yeah, ain't you seen that in the movies?
In a science fiction movie, yeah. This is real life.
Well, there you go.
No, I think what he's doing, I don't think he was prepared. And he just came up with some cheese. What do you think?
I don't know. All I know is he said to me, go to this clip and this clip and this clip and edit them all together.
What? Where did you find this stuff, bud?
YouTube.
On YouTube?
Yeah, YouTube. That's where he said to go.
Well, the mother of all bums isn't going to be on YouTube.
But where's she going to be?
Well, she... What do you mean, she?
Forget it. World-famous Phil... Just never mind. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com with... Professor Emery Clayton. Thanks a lot, Pro. We'll be back with more here. Coming up here in the next segment, we've got Ed Elcott. And Dr. Ed Elcott wants a part of that. He wants a part of the bar fights, and it ain't happening. Oh, Dr. Elcott. Later on, Dean Wheeler on Yogo. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. We'll be right back. Head over now to our Facebook fan page. That's facebook.com/PhilHendryFans. When you get over there, place your vote, your selection for the winner of this week's bar fight between Margaret Gray and Bobby Dooley. Tell us why you voted for them, and then wait for the prizes to just rain down on your head if you win. Now, we want your email address. Make sure you comment as to why you think one or the other will win, and then place your vote there at facebook.com/PhilHendryFriends.
It's the bar fight.
It's the Phil Hendry Show bar fight.
It's the Phil Hendry Show bar fight series.
Yeah, the bar fight.
The bar fight series. Or the bar fight,
Yes, the prom is coming up. A great many formal events are coming up. Do you have the dress you want? Do you have the beautiful, dainty prom dress or the formal wear that you always want to rely on to look your very best? Come to Dr. Proudco's Formal Wear. Dr. Proudco's Formal Wear has beautiful shoes, dresses, gloves, hats, everything you need to look your very, very best at your school's formal. You don't want your boyfriend to pick you up and say, hmm, I thought you were a good-looking girl, but I see you're nothing more than a homeless bag lady. I'm only kidding. But grit his teeth through the entire debate? No. You want him to see you looking your very, very best. Come to Dr. Proudco's Formal Wear. Don't show up at the door as your boyfriend greets you looking like something almost extraterrestrial, maybe even something that's extra-dimensional. You don't want to do that, now do you? At Dr. Proudco's Formal Wear, beautiful dresses, gloves, shoes, upholstering for every young lady. A beautiful look for you. When you go out to that dance, you go out to that function, your boyfriend will be proud to have you on his arm. You'll look like a girl, a beautiful young lady, and not some thing from another world. Dr. Proudco's Formal Wear. Look like a young woman and not a thing. From another dimension. World famous Phil Henry Show, the El Pacifico in Southern California, here with Dr. Ed Elcott coming up. I'm General Galen Shaw. You're Professor Emery. You're
Margaret Gray.
You're Margaret Gray.
Phil Henry.
Phil Henry. All right.
You're not having a stroke or something, is you?
You're not having a stroke or something, is you?
No.
So we're having Dr. Ed Elcott here. Dr. Ed Elcott from Elcott, the next step there in Wampaw, New York, is going to be coming up here in just a moment to talk with us about the bar fights. How are those going, bud?
Yeah, everybody's checking in on bar fights over at facebook.com/PhilHenryFans. Yeah, the bar fight is your way of not only interacting with the show here, but selecting the individual character or guest we have on the show you think going to go out and kick somebody's ass halfway around the world.
Yes, it's a great halfway around the world. It's a great way to interact with us here on the world famous Phil Henry Show, and pick your favorite character is what we're talking about.
Right, so head over there now to Phil Henry. Yeah, that's facebook.com/PhilHenryFans. And on his way to another seminar there in Wampanoag, New York, calling us long distance is Dr. Ed Elcott. We got more doctors and professors here, Dr. Elcott. So I hope you forgive us. General Shaw forgot his own name.
Yes, I heard that.
I'm sorry about that, Dr. Elcott. I just...
Oh, no, don't apologize to me. You did sound a bit confused there, General.
Well, you know, we have so many titles here. And myself and Coach Dozier, we go back and forth.
I know that he's always calling you Coach, and you're always calling him General. But it is a rare treat, but nonetheless a great treat to be with you.
Now, I heard from Bud and from Robert today. They fielded a call from your office that you wondered why you were not in on the bar fights.
Yes, in a sort of a playful way, Phil. It wasn't anything really serious, but I do appreciate it. It's my way of reaching out and appreciation for what you've done for Elcott, the next step, in providing us a platform for our life philosophy, one that we've devoted so much of our time to.
What do you think of these bar fights?
Well, it may sound surprising, but it sounds cathartic to me. Given the year that I've had and the last couple of, I'm not complaining, but given the last couple of years that I've had.
Well, you've had it kind of tough. I mean, you've been leveled and everything.
I'm not trying to.
Yeah, you have kind of. People are saying, when are you going to evolve into an overlord?
Well, that's perhaps a good question. When am I going to evolve into an overlord? I don't know, but I do hope that whenever it is, it's soon. It's been a long time coming.
An overlord is the next step from the priesterly level that you're at. And then what's the next step after that?
The next step, then, Phil, is underseer and then overseer. And overseer, you achieve metaphysical abilities to invisibility and other metaphysical manifestations.
All right, so you believe that's going to happen?
Well, yes, I do believe, and with all my heart, it's going to happen. And that's why the longer it takes for me to become an overlord, you know, the more irritating it becomes.
So when you hear these bar fights and you hear the sort of, the cathartic, does it give you a sort of a cathartic release?
When I hear the bar fights, does it give me a cathartic release? I would say this. I would say that the bar fights give me a feeling that I want to have a little fun. I want to mix it up. Maybe we used to have wrestling matches when we were kids. And we'd throw each other around a room as I get older and I move on with my life. And I want to, I want to enjoy my life. I don't have the patience that I had. And I don't want to have, I don't want to have to sit and wait for the overlords to kick me upstairs. And so I begin to fantasize about kicking someone when they're on the floor.
Well, now that's very out of character, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I apologize.
No. Keep going with this. I mean,
you might as well. If that's something you want to, like somebody you want to kick to death?
No, my goodness, no. Elcott, the next step is about peace, and it is about love, and it is about good relations with our fellow man. Of course not. But the time it has taken for them to give me a promotion, yes, I do fantasize about having an overlord of...
An overlord? Go ahead.
This is very difficult to say.
You are among friends here, Ed. Are you afraid an overlord is going to level you or take revenge?
No, generally the overlords allow us to speak our minds in the perfunctory world or the world of the pedestrian, which is what they call this one, because they don't think it matters at all. I could be here talking about having been... In fact, I was told this by Gloria Grover. She said to me, why don't you go out into the perfunctory world and claim that you were anally attacked by overlords? We won't care because people will think you're insane. And it was at that point...
Oh, my God.
You know what? That is a terrible thing to say.
Well, it was at that point I said, Gloria, what makes you think I would do that? And she said, just you remember that. Now go on and go out there and... make all your claims. So I've had a little something in the back of my mind when I came on your show tonight that I wouldn't mind just kicking that old...
Go ahead, say it.
I think you want to say it.
I don't want to get the guy in trouble.
Oh, you won't get me in trouble. I fantasize about kicking that dirty old...
You're really pissed off, aren't you?
I'm angry that I have spent so much time as a priesterly and I haven't been given my shot.
Well, now, we've heard you many a time on the show being leveled. Is that what you call it?
That is correct. And as a matter of fact, if you go to my Twitter account, which is twitter.com/Dr. Ed Elcott.
I don't want to hold it. Twitter.com.
Twitter.com/Dr. Ed Elcott. I have an artist's rendering of one of an overlord getting leveled when he was a priesterly from the 1970s.
Really?
Yeah, it's an artist rendering based on memory. Someone witnessed that.
Now, you have your radio turned up. Can you turn that down a little bit?
Sure. And,
are you with someone?
No, I'm not. Not really. Just someone I'm giving a ride to. So I would say that if I could be in any kind of a bar fight, I would love to be on the Phil Henry Show bar fight so I could beat someone up, and I know who it would be. And
well, you've mentioned her already.
Yes, that's correct. And if not her, then her son. I'd like to kick him and just kick it.
You want to knock her down and just keep kicking?
Yeah, exactly. I want to just kick and kick and kick and kick.
You know, Ed, can I say something?
Yeah.
It's not good to get yourself so wound up that you feel the instinct to really commit violence.
No. Please don't. Have no fear, General.
Because it sounded like
you were wound up there.
No, please, gentlemen, I'm fine. I was just seeing Gloria on the ground and thinking of the times that she would laugh at me when, for instance, I took my pants off, and I don't need to go further into that.
Oh, man, that's humiliating.
Yeah.
Well, is there something physically wrong with you?
There's nothing physically wrong with me, but that's what she likes to do. I get naked, and she points and laughs. And so naturally, I'm going to imagine her laying on the ground, and I'm wearing a pair of pointed cowboy boots, or they could be the steel-toed kind of romper-stomper things, what the young people in Europe wear, the young Nazis. And I have those on, and I'm kicking and kicking and kicking.
I think we ought to let him go.
Yeah.
No, Phil. I heard you say that.
Wait, hold on for just a second here. What the...
I think we should let him go.
I can hear you people talking about me. Please don't talk about me behind my back.
I think we need to let you go, Doc.
No. Why? Well, I wouldn't intend on doing that.
You're not going to be serious about that.
No, I'm not serious about it at all. But you can imagine, I just want to kick the shit out of her.
Get me better, Charlie. We're going to let you go, Ed.
Please don't.
Ed, are you going to be okay?
I'm going to be okay. I just wish I had something to kick. Never mind. All right.
All right. Now, if we put a call into Gloria Grover...
No, please don't do that.
That wouldn't help, huh? Maybe to express some of this?
Go ahead.
I'd put...
Dad, call Gloria Grover right now!
We're going to call Gloria Grover. She's in California. I guess she's...
She's scheduled to be back in Wampaw at the end of the week for our annual priesterly festival.
I got Gloria here, line two.
Let me hold on for just a second. Gloria Grover is on where?
Line two.
On line two. All right. There she is. Gloria, hi, it's Phil Hendry. How are you doing?
Oh, hello, Phil. How are you?
I got on the line here, Dr. Ed Elcott joining us.
Ed, how are you doing?
Yes, Gloria, right, fine.
What can I do for you, Phil?
Ed wants to say something to you.
Yes, Ed, go ahead.
Gloria,
why don't you turn the radio down? Where is Ed?
No, I'm not going to turn the radio down because you've been telling me what to do for a long time.
Is that right?
Yes, that's right. You know it's right.
And once a week he does this. Go ahead.
Once a week.
Oh, so every week he's complaining?
Oh, every week he complains.
I'd like to kick your ass!
Is he still there?
Where is he?
Well, he tried to hang up. We got him on the hold button now.
Okay, well, let me just say that he is constantly losing it like that, Phil. It's nothing to be afraid of. He wants to kick my ass. And he knows that he can't.
Well, that sounded like a very distraught man.
No, he's fine. He's a big pussy. He's such a pussy.
There he is!
Gloria, I apologize. I didn't mean to do that.
You certainly did mean to do that, Ed. You do it all the time.
No, you know that that's not true. All I want to do is just kick you!
All right, you got it out of your system?
I hung up on him then.
That's all right, Bill. He's going to be fine. He does mean things.
You know, I want to tell you, I fear for your safety.
Oh, horseshit. Everything's fine. And, you know, I'll get back on the horn with him and chill him out.
Well, that sounds like a man who is really on the edge.
No, he's not. Ed is a priesterly. Priesterlies behave very, to you, regular people, they sound strange. But to us, they don't sound near as weird as they do when they eventually reach overlord status, which is what I am, and I turn into all kinds of things. So.
Now, have you called him back?
Dad, put it back on here in a second.
Yeah, see? So he hasn't finished yet.
Well, did he do that when he called back, bud?
No, he just said, hi, it's Dr. Elcott. May I go back on? I said, sure.
No, don't ever believe a priesterly after they've lost it like that, after they lose their mud. And if you look at the Huebner Elcott big thick one, it'll say, when a priesterly loses his mud, all bets are off.
When a priesterly loses his mud.
That's right.
All right, Gloria, thank you very much. We apologize for any fear that we might have put into you. We wanted to, Ed wanted to ask us about the bar fights.
Oh, well, you know, the bar fights will come, and if he wants to be in a bar fight, I think a good one would be with Larry, you know?
Now, that's a good one. Larry is a regular guest on the show, isn't he, Phil?
Yes.
All right, so I'll talk to Ed about that, and...
You're going to talk to him?
Oh, sure. I can talk to him if you want.
Get him back on.
I can talk to him here on the show, but...
Yeah, Dr. Elcott, you there?
Why won't you let me kick you to death?
Because, Ed, it's not... Why don't you bug off? All right, Phil.
How were you able to hang up on him?
I'm an overlord. I have powers far and above those of mortal...
You just hung up on an overlord. Ain't that just too bad? I gotta take a break, okay? Overlords cannot wait for a commercial break. You know something? You do well to just ace those people out of your life. Who's that, the Elcott people? The whole Elcott thing. World-famous Phil Hendry Show at El Pacifico coming back with Dean Wheeler and Yogo.
New from Cavco Pictures, The Ghoul That Ate Babies. Cavco Pictures, the number one horror movie producer in all of filmdom, now brings to your neighborhood drive-in, your neighborhood movie theater, to your DVD player and beyond, The Thing That Ate Babies. A ghoul like no ghoul you've ever seen before. The horror, the horror. The Ghoul That Ate Babies. Rated R. Starring Kelco Wilson, Bill Jackson, and the Voy May twins. The Ghoul That Ate Babies. Now playing.
Diarrhea. It is the worst thing that could possibly happen to you when you're in a crowd of people. Yes, diarrhea.
Diarrhea. Diarrhea.
Diarrhea came upon mortal man many hundreds of years ago as the result of a bacterial infection of the lower intestine. diarrhea. It's embarrassing, and it's unrelenting, and it can be dealt with. Yes, get Morton's Tightening. And don't let diarrhea run your life ever again. Diarrhea, diarrhea, diarrhea.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California, and welcome back. I'm Margaret Cray.
Dean Wheeler joining us on our newsmaker line. I still want to figure out...
Yeah, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, I want to make sure that Gloria Grover and all concerned are not weirded out by that cat.
Well, he didn't sound as if he was...
I think the young man's okay, Phil. I think that we just... You know, Ed Elcott, he's right. He has been run through the ringer by those people.
I know, but he sounds like he's the Wolfman or something.
Yeah, that's a very weird reaction.
So if you wouldn't mind, Bud, maybe get on the horn with him?
Yeah, I'll talk to him later on.
Like, maybe sooner than later on would be really nice. Dean Wheeler joining us on our newsmaker line here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, as we talk with Dean about yoga and some of the great strides that you're making with yoga. Dean, how is it going?
Phil, it's going great. Thanks for having me on.
I haven't talked to you in a while. I know that there's so much was going on with you, with Elmer Emeralda, your wife's career, her singing career.
All right, well, that's all on hold right now. I can happily report to you that I have told Emeralda, and I did something I should have done a long time ago. I put my foot down, and I told her that she was not allowed to sing if it meant that horn players, and you know the story.
Oh, Mike, I'm so sorry about that.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine. And Emeralda has accepted that, and that's the good news. Also, the good news is I've returned to my work with the Tribal Council. I have returned to our meditation classes, and I've left behind, at least momentarily, Phil, the very horrific and wayward ways of bars and nightclubs and trying to promote the career of a woman who I think is going to do better staying at home and doing her art. She loves to paint. She loves to do some of her needlepoint. And getting involved with the women's clubs and things, and forget all about a singing career until she learns how to behave in a decent way. And when I say decent, just basic bare minimum decency. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be some Miss Manners. It doesn't have to be Emily Post. I'm asking Emeralda.
This is a little personal.
No, it is not. No, it is not. It is not personal. I'm asking Emeralda to behave in just the most basic, decent ways.
Look, kiddo, I got to tell you something, Dean.
Wait a minute!
Hey, man, don't talk like that.
I apologize. I'm sorry.
You know, we've had a lot of people off the deep end on this show.
I apologize, General. I apologize. Please forgive me. We're really very happy. We really are. Everything is going so good.
You're happy, even though you have that kind of tension.
We really are. I slip a little bit, but we really are. Emeralda has stopped singing, and she is behaving like a human being. I've got to try to get her to behave like a woman, but first things first. I've got her behaving now like a human being, and we'll work on her behaving like a woman in the next few months. But right now, she's not any longer walking around and doing the human version of sniffing other people's...
Yeah, I got other people.
Never mind, Bud. I know what you mean, Dean.
Thank you, Phil. I appreciate that.
All right, Dean, the yoga class that you were conducting in the middle of all of this stuff, in the middle of the challenges you had in your marriage, in the middle of the challenges you had with Emeralda's career, and, of course, the resort there, as well as your man camp that's coming up.
Oh, yeah, man camp is coming up. And again, Phil, I challenge any one of the men there on your crew to join us at man camp. I think you'll enjoy it.
I would love to go to man camp, except I've already talked to Steve Dooley about it.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Steve's a liar, Phil. Steve's a liar, Phil. He's a liar.
So he never fell into a bungee pit?
No, yes, he did. No, he didn't. He's talking about Ralph Alvin.
Oh, his neighbor, yeah.
Yeah, he did. And, yes, but what? So what? I never did understand.
Well, the guys were saying that you were holding them against their will.
Okay, I didn't want to get into this. I didn't want to, and I'm not going to get into this. We've already been through it a million times. Steve has been talked to. We've been in touch with him. We've been in touch with the entities that his wife, Bobby. So I just don't want to get into this.
All right, but, you know, you're inviting me to man camp. That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah, see what I mean? So here's the slander and the vile river of sewer, the sewer of slander that is the mouth of Steve Dooley has not yet shut. And all we're trying to do is find the crank to put it into the key in the cement to turn ever so slowly the river of sewage pouring out of the big, dirty mouth.
We're talking here, are you all right?
Yes.
We're talking here with Dean Wheeler. We've had a lot of people...
I'd say a lot of people off the deep end tonight.
Yeah, we there's a lot of people that are tense with us tonight, Dean, and I'm sorry that we're doing it to you, too, and we'll try to get through this as best as we can.
No, it's all fine, Phil. We have our challenges. Life would be nothing. Life would be absolutely nothing without these challenges.
All right, now, Dean, we already went through what happened with Carolyn Buttershaw. She
Karen Buttershaw.
Karen Buttershaw, who was your master yoga student. And there was an unfortunate incident there. Now, there wasn't any sexual harassment. She didn't, but people witnessed something.
Yes, people witnessed a prana called the snake. A prana is a posture in yoga and in yoga. And my nose wound up in an embarrassing place as she had bent over and her buttocks was in proximity to the front of my face. And then in the posture, I lean back and I lay on the floor. And in this posture, I have to stick my tongue out. And she has to lower her hips, not over my face.
All right, can we stop it here?
Okay.
We get the general idea.
But it was never intended that, but because we got crossed up.
Well, there's a lot of people that made some very unfortunate comments, and I'm glad that you clarified that because they thought you did it on purpose.
No, I did not do it on purpose, ladies and gentlemen. I've said this over and over and over and over and over and over again. No, I didn't do it on purpose, and I wish people would just...
All right, now, what happened this past week to kind of reopen the wound?
What happened this past week is after I was on your show, and I had my yoga class out on the northern cliff face. This is where we have our early morning master yoga, and that's when I introduced myself as Master Yoga Dean. And I bow three times toward the class. I bow three times toward the sun. As I bowed three times toward the sun, I heard some tittering or laughter and a few crude comments tossed. And I turned to my left, and up on the roadway, I saw three children on bicycles, and a man had pulled over, and he just had his arm out the window staring down. I asked them what their problem was, and they said, "Are you going to put your nose up there?" And I said, "Okay, that's it. Get out of here." I had to call the police, and the police, thankfully, set up a perimeter.
So you were out. I didn't know that your property borders a public area.
Where we do our yoga class does, yes.
All right, and these were kids that heard this on our show?
Apparently, either their parents had heard it, and there were three boys on bicycles, and one man was there. He was wearing some kind of a fedora. Looking out the window, the upper part of his head was shaded with his arm hanging out the window. And the kids were saying, "How about the nose up the you-know-what?" And the guy was going, "Yeah, yeah, how about that?" And then finally I said, "All of you people are causing us..." I told them, I said, "You're such a negative force, a negative influence." And they all, I heard another foul word or two, and then they rode off. So I called the police, and they set up a perimeter for us.
Now, when you say a perimeter...
They say they protected the area?
Yeah, they just kept people out of there until we were done with the yoga.
All right, now... we had the gentleman that apparently, allegedly, pulled up with those boys. We had some contact with him as he called us. He was worried that he was going to be sued because he knew you were coming back on our show.
Which is this?
This is the man that you say you saw pulled over with the arm hanging out the window.
Okay.
And he is on the line. Do you want to talk to him?
I don't mind talking to the man at all.
All right. Let's get him up here, bud. By the way, we're talking with Dean Wheeler. He's in his gym there at Wheeler Resort.
Hold on. I need to do a little bit.
Let me get Brad on the phone.
Phil, I need to... Before I talk to Brad...
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Good, Brad. Just hold on.
Hi, Brad. It's Dean.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Before I talk to him, I need to do a yoga cleansing, a yoga purification. Pardon me for just a moment.
You doing the yoga?
Hold on, Brad.
Yeah, wait a minute. Put 50 pounds on that. I want to really work it out here.
Body yoga.
That's what I'm doing.
Put Brad on hold.
I didn't want...
Okay, one, two. The gods of yoga are cloaking me in their protective coverage. Nothing can make me angry. Oh, man, that was great. I just lifted 300 pounds. Well, I lifted it about an inch. That's good enough. Thank you, Terry.
You got it.
Okay, I'm cleansed.
You're cleansed, so you've got all the anger?
The anger is gone, yes.
All right, Brad, Phil Hendry.
Sorry, sir, yes. I thought that...
Hold just a second. Brad, you need to talk when I talk to you because you're coming in really loud.
Brad, it's Dean. Yes, sir.
All right, and Brad, tell us. You apparently wanted to call to apologize.
I wanted to call and express to Mr. Wheeler my most sorrow, and I'm very, very, very sorry. I understand that I interrupted your yoga class. I had heard on a Phil Hendry show that you had said your nose and so on and so forth.
Yes.
And I reacted in a childish way, and I was driving along. I was up in Novato. I was doing a sales call up there anyway, and I knew that your resort was nearby. So they told me if I went down Mountain Road, down the Coast Road there, I would see your yoga class. I saw three kids on bicycles. I said, do you kids know what this yoga is? They said, follow us. So all I was doing...
These kids led you to the...
I just followed them. They said they were on their bicycles, and then they pointed and pulled up, and then that's when I saw you.
Well, what made you yell out what you yelled?
I was being wrong. And you have to understand, I wanted to see if yoga was for me. You know, maybe I want to do it, maybe I don't want to do it.
Why would you wonder if it's for you?
Well, I mean, I'm not interested in sticking my nose up someone's you-know-what, but if you get to do that, it's...
No, you don't get to do that, Brad.
What I was thinking is if you get to, it tells you a lot about the religion.
Yeah, what's it tell you?
Well, it's not a religion. First of all, I need to tell you this, okay, Brad? It's not a religion.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's not a religion.
And you don't get to put your nose up someone's...
Yeah, I know that now. But I didn't at the time.
You thought this... You wanted to do it as exercise?
I didn't know it was exercise. I thought it was some kind of a religion where you shoved your nose up there. I don't know.
No, it's not. And for you to ride your bike near the area and go, hey, when's your nose going up her ass after lunch? That's exactly the quote. And I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. So you had to bring that up, huh?
I'm bringing it up.
I did say that, Mr. Henry, I did.
When's your nose going up her ass after lunch?
Yeah, I did. Because I figured after lunch,
you don't have to tell them why you think the things you think. It's just,
but the idiocy of my logic was, it was like dessert or something.
You know, I will say this to you, Brad. What, your name is Brad, huh?
Yes, sir.
It's good of you to come on and apologize to Mr. Wheeler, but it also smacks of someone that's called up and you want to stick it in a little more. That's exactly what I was thinking.
No, sir, I do not.
You don't. It feels like you're trying to make fun of me.
No. I would never have. Why would I call up? I just simply wanted to ask you: is your not religion? But I thought it was a religion. I know it now. It's not a religion. But if it was it devoted to having your nose go up a woman's ass? Is the only thing.
No, it was not. And I made that abundantly clear.
You knew that when you called in, didn't you?
No, sir, I did not. All I thought was I'd run afoul of the man's... I thought it was religion, like a physical religion or something like that.
Yoga? Do you know what yoga is?
I don't know what yoga... I've heard of yoga.
Well, yoga is like yoga, only it has far more extreme examples. It's very, very strenuous, and it is unusual. But there is nothing in the tenets that say your nose has to wind up anywhere.
All right, well, that's what...
And these kids told you that?
Yeah, these three kids, these three punks. And I don't mean to say they're punks, but I feel they were punks because they led me, you know.
Well, you're not going to blame some kids for the way you behaved, are you?
No. But I said, hey, do you young men know? And they go, yeah, all this kind of, you know. And they go, yeah, down there, the guy's going to stick his nose up there, ha, ha, ha. And so I found myself going, hey, when's the nose go up after lunch?
You found yourself saying that, huh?
I did, yes.
All right, Brad, well, only you know whether you're being honest or not.
I swear to God, Mr. Hendry.
It doesn't make any difference. You don't have to convince me, and you don't even have to convince Dean. It's yourself.
Well, yes, he does.
Well, I was going to say, he has to convince himself.
Why?
Well, because his own honesty, his own honor is at stake.
Why do I care about that? I want him to apologize to me.
But Mr. Hendry is saying that I need to be to apologize to myself, too.
Who gives a shit? Everyone...
That is all we need there.
You know, we're doing a survey, and I've had a couple of the girls that I work with over at Little Bird told me, how many times does Phil hang up on someone after they say the phrase, who gives an S or who gives an F?
Now, that's an interesting... What's the tally so far?
Well, we won't have it till next week.
Oh, I see. So I only hang up with people... I only hang up on people when they say something like that.
That's what it seems like to me. But nonetheless... I think it was a good time to hang up on that man because, obviously he did not have any intention of being decent. His intention was to simply to call up and go, hee, hee, hee.
Well, he seemed sincere to me.
Well, who cares what you think, bud?
I care what he thinks. But I will say this. I think that this guy, Brad, yeah, he's full of crap.
Yeah, and you could tell that Dean thought he was full of crap, too.
Yeah, but also Dean's full of crap.
Why do you say that?
Because he doesn't care whether that guy apologizes to himself and gets right with himself. He wants the apology from the guy.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, that's fine.
I see.
All right, yeah, Phil, just quit while you're ahead.
Now, Miss Anna, you're doing all right. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's my turn.
No, it's my turn. World-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Executive produced by Mr. Hendry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.
Bunch of weird asses, you know.
We're still on the air.
What?
We're still on the air.
Oh, Christ.